In an article posted at the online magazine Slate, writer Patrick Radden Keefe says the ancestor of next week's Judiciary Committee hearings is the 1975 investigation led by Idaho Senator Frank Church.
This morning, the committee begins public hearings on the National Security Agency, or as it is more commonly known, the NSA.
Patrick Radden Keefe is the author of the book Chatter, Dispatches from the Secret World of Global Eavesdropping, and I spoke with him earlier.
Basically, in late 1974, Seymour Hersh broke a big story in the New York Times about domestic spying, in this case by the CIA and the NSA, in the United States on anti-war protesters, and that launched a big congressional investigation.
And tell us about that investigation. What happened? Who exactly were they investigating, and what were the allegations?
Well, it was a long-term investigation. There were two committees. The Church Committee was the Senate committee, and there was also a committee in the House known as the Pike Committee after the representative in charge of that. And they took a really aggressive, almost kind of gumshoe approach. They sent out young congressional aides to basically go knocking on doors around Washington and asking around at the agencies and trying to figure out just what it was that these intelligence agencies had done. The upside of that approach was that they actually learned a huge amount, and there are these enormous, kind of voluminous reports that the committees ended up putting together about abuses by the intelligence agencies. And as far as the NSA was concerned, what came out was there was a program called Shamrock, which was, again, very similar to what we're seeing today. You basically had the three big telecom companies at the time. Anytime a telegram went into or out of the United States, they would make a copy and give all of those copies to the NSA. And a lot of the people that the NSA ended up listening in on were not people in any way affiliated with foreign intelligence agencies or Soviet bloc countries or Vietnam or what have you. They were just anti-war protesters. It ran the gamut literally from Jane Fonda to Martin Luther King.
And at the time during these congressional investigations, there were actually subpoenas issued to the heads of the major telecom companies. And you say that that was very effective.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredibly fruitful strategy on their part. If you think about it, if you are a representative of the government, if you work for one of the intelligence agencies or you're an employee of the president, there are a number of arguments you can use to basically trump a congressional subpoena, to say, I don't have to testify, I don't have to tell you what it was I was working on. But if you're a private civilian who runs a telecom corporation and, in fact, you've been supplying the NSA with all this information, you don't have that same kind of recourse. You can't claim executive privilege. And so what happened during the Church Committee era was a House subcommittee actually subpoenaed the heads of these companies, the CEOs, and at first it looked as though they wouldn't come. And President Ford actually wrote a letter saying, I want to extend executive privilege to these private citizens. And it was sort of would they, wouldn't they? And eventually they did show up, realizing that that was probably too far a stretch of executive privilege, and they did testify rather colorfully about all of the cooperation between these private phone companies and the intelligence agencies.
So it would seem a good idea for the heads of the major telecom companies now to be subpoenaed for next week's hearings.
It would. I mean, I actually think it's the only way in which certainly the Judiciary Committee is going to get any kind of traction, because right now the only witness scheduled to testify is Alberto Gonzalez, who's already said at great length, or rather he said the same thing again and again about what he, you know, what his view on this is. We don't know whether or not any NSA employees, current or former, will be testifying. And if they were brought before the committee, they could obviously claim executive privilege. They could claim that they didn't need to testify. If you brought in the CEO of AT&T or the CEO of Verizon, then I think they would be obliged to talk.
So is it likely that they will be subpoenaed?
Well, we don't know of any plans for it to happen so far. My sense of this Judiciary Committee is that it's going to be nowhere near as bold as the Church Committee was, nowhere near as aggressive. So I suspect that the thinking will be, oh, you know what we'll do is we'll bring in the lawyers and we'll sort of keep it to a strictly legal discussion. I think this is a little short-sighted, if only because the details of what was actually going on, what the NSA was actually doing, have kind of gotten lost here, and there's not a lot of agreement about what that involved. And, you know, how it was that they chose their targets, how many people they listened to, how long they listened for, all of those actual factual details will have real legal implications. So to my mind, having a legal discussion without actually bringing in the CEOs and finding out exactly what was going on is in a way a bit of a farce.
Patrick Radden Keefe is the author of the book Chatter. He'll be covering next week's Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for the online magazine Slate. And thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.